Put them in. Because one experience that is from the Lord, that is put in that book, can change a thousand lives. If God calls you to that, flow along with the kind of anointing you have. But when they try to change over and switch anointing, it's going to be difficult. We all enjoy reading books that are biographies too. Experiences. There's nothing wrong with them. So we need to flow along with that to understand that it is not just doing something because it's the in thing. And I have two very highly successful associate ministers, and one of them has 3, 4, 5 people working under him. That's how big his ministry has grown, but he's still an associate. And so I used to encourage him and say, why don't you write a pamphlet about your ministry? And he prayed about it, and in the end he said, well, I can't do it like the other associate. Because usually what I try to do is try to promote their ministry. And he says, the another minister is another one of my associates is going to do that. So he did that. But he said, I can't do it. He says, God didn't ask me to. Instead, he says, I can write something about the kind of schools and training schools I conduct, which God called him to. I say, fine, do it. Get it down. Do something solid so that we could take it and introduce that to people and say, look, this is the kind of seminar that he can teach. And he says, God didn't ask me to write any books yet. I said, that's fine. And he's highly successful. I mean, as he traveled, in another country, where because he's in the training area, training ministers, God moved a person to give him a land to build a whole training school. Isn't it marvelous? I rejoice when I hear these things happening to the associates. It's important to understand that each one must flow the right heart, the right works. Don't do another person's work. Do your own work that God called you to do. If you're not in a ministry and you're there in a secular world, you have your own special work too that God calls you. And if you know your call, you know your work, then anything that helps you to fulfill is good. But be genuine. Be genuine. Flow with that. The third point in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. To get our rewards from heaven. First is the heart. Second is the works or the hands. Third is found in the verse there in verse 20. You are our glory and joy. Count your success by your spiritual children. Do not count your success by, these are the don't. Number one, your popularity. Popularity is only mechanical. If you do the right thing, you pull the right string, you use the right media, you can get it. But that is not true success. Number two, it has nothing to do with how much money you have. If your ministry stopped being in the red and is now in the black, it doesn't prove you're successful. There are a lot of non-spirit filled organizations. They are only doing 1/10 of what really God wants them to do, and 90% men's tradition. They are in the black. It has nothing to do with that. Although, when you are really doing what God wants you to do, you will never be in the red. That's the other extreme. But you cannot judge that you have, quote unquote, arrived at your success in ministry because you got enough finances coming in, you got enough offerings coming in, and therefore you have arrived. Never judge it by that. How do you judge it? By how many spiritual children you really have. Your reward is based on your true fruit. Your fruit. The fruit of your life, the fruit of your ministry, these are your reward. Which is why if you really understand the system, when, for example, let's give an example from a minister's perspective. When you move into an area, or let's say like you've got finances in this area, and then you understand that your fruit is the people, you're willing to channel it back in a way that will help the people more. But if all you think that success is popularity and finances, when the finances come, you will try to get a bigger car, get a bigger house, or get something to satisfy your carnal desires that are still present. That makes a lot of difference. What our true rewards are. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 onwards, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." And he said, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now why did Paul suddenly talk about they being the temple? Do you know why? Paul was about to lose the Corinthian church. He was concerned because they are his reward. He don't want them to turn astray. They are his crown, his joy. And he wrote to them, he pleaded with them, he called upon them to get back to God. See, there are a lot of ministers, once they got enough to put food on the table, a shelter above them, and a good means of transportation, and a good wardrobe, they don't care anymore. They become professional. It's wrong. That is not success. When they get to heaven, they found out that trying to establish themselves and trying to establish others are two different things. Although when you establish others, you will establish yourselves. But it's important for us to understand that God looks at our rewards differently from the way we think what the rewards are. Even if you are not in a ministry and you're in a secular work, your reward is not in the checks and profit that comes your way. You know who your rewards are? Your employees under you, whose lives you have helped to earn an honest living, whom you have helped them to make a better life for themselves, so that they in turn can help others. And when everyone does it in society, the whole society will progress. Your reward, employers, is not at the end of the day to sit down after the accountants and auditor accounts and look at your net profit. That's not. That's only a little bit of the compensation God brings to your way because of your faithfulness. But your true heavenly reward is when you sit down and you think about brother, let's say Brother Lee, who is one of your best employees, whom you love, whom you help. You saw him without an education and you brought him up, and he's not one of your top executives, and your reward is sitting down, praying for him, thinking of the joy, earning 4 or 5 figures because you have managed to help him. And he's standing on his own 2 feet, not just eating off your bowl. And you're happy that your life have helped another life. and you're thinking about many others whom you help. Although in a strict sense, we need to differentiate between a welfare organization and a business. A business cannot succeed if it's run only for welfare. And you bring in people who cannot work and who cannot do the job, then they end up as liabilities. That is a different realm to help them under welfare. But to help people under welfare, you need to be able to have a net profit to be able to throw money down that never comes back. As money from there, it may come from other source because God bless you, but not directly from there. A business is run differently in that each employee must be able to produce their worth and more for the business to succeed. So there are two different principles. But the wonderful thing is whether you're helping through the welfare method or through the business, where a person who just cannot produce and is just a liability, you can never help. And maybe you're not in a position to help a person in the area, you can't. But those who are hardworking, who can earn an honest living, who can bring their worth in, you could help from the business side. But at the end of the day, when finally you reach the age of 55 or maybe 65, and you're drawing closer and closer to meet the Lord, and you look at your life behind you, you've got 10, 20 companies, you've got lots of things here and there, what is your reward? Your reward is maybe you have about 1,000 employees and you help each one of them to earn an honest living and to better themselves in life and also to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ wherever you could. That's your reward. In the same sense, the full-time sense is the pastor and his sheep. That's your reward. And if you notice in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about the reward. And do you notice that in chapter 3, the introduction part, he says here, in verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. Now remember, Paul is talking about building a foundation. The foundation must be there which Jesus Christ built. It must be gold and silver and not hay and stubble. So he's talking about building a foundation, the context. And in chapter 3, verse 9, he says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Where is his field? The people. Where is the building? The people. That's where his reward is. Which was why after talking about the foundation, he says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul was concerned. When the Galatians were about to turn away, Paul says, I travail again for you. Because he knows that that's where the reward is. Like a good shepherd, you have 99 sheep that is saved, there's one sheep that is lost. You go for it. Because you know you want to save every sheep you can. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 talks about preparation to meet with the Lord. And there are easier points in verse 7. It says, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, says, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. That's number one, comforting one another by your faith. Number two, verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now, isn't it interesting that according to Paul, the Thessalonians' faith was still lacking. They were having a very young faith. Yet Paul could be comforted by their faith, and he could seek to perfect their faith. So there's a comfort of faith, there's a perfection of faith, and verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. Now there are three factors he talks about here. As we prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to, number one, be able to comfort. The word comfort also means to strengthen one another in the faith.